2 Timothy chapter 4. It has been a good day. The Lord has blessed throughout today. Had a little more running than usual. Mineral Springs as well. And certainly glad that we could come and just hear the good singing. It's certainly a blessing to be here at my home church. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll begin reading with verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to cease reading with these few verses tonight. And this may seem like a strange place just to jump into Scripture, and maybe it is, but I want us to see the humanity just a minute of Paul. You know, a lot of times we look at him as maybe a superhero of the faith and almost as if he was superhuman. But here he's speaking of some very just normal things, some very personal things. And he's talking about men that were supposed to be there and they were not there. And he goes on to talk about something as simple as a cloak. He said, that cloak that I left, when you come, will you bring that cloak with you? You think about a man, maybe he's cold and he wants his jacket. Bring that with you when you come, and some books. I'd like to read some books, and especially those parchments. You bring those with you when you come, and bring John Mark with you, because he'd be profitable to me. Everybody else he had sent on their way, and he needed somebody to come and just be there with him. You know, I look at the Apostle Paul, and apparently he was a member of the church at Antioch. That was his home church. That's, at least we know that's the church that laid hands on him and sent him out to do the missionary work that he was called to do. And that all led by God, he was sent out. And I wonder, you know, where were they at? Where was his home church at? And why is it that he said there was a time when no man stood with me? No man. You know, he wrote at another time and he talked about how that in his missionary journeys that there was nobody that even supported him except he called one church out. He said, they're the only ones that supported me in the ministry. You know, I thank God for a good church, my home church, that is willing to encourage one another. You are willing to encourage me and you do that so well. It's so good. It's just a pleasure, an honor to be here. And I can tell you this, not every church has the same sweet spirit that we do here at Clearbrain. Not every church has compassion for its members like Clearbranch does. And I say that I don't want to build you up too big that you get the big head about it, but at the same time, I want to commend where it's due. You know, Paul was a missionary that experienced a very perilous journey. That we can go and read where that he was stoned, left for dead. We can go and read where that they took a whip and they put 39 lashes on his back. More than one time they did that. And, you know, whenever I think about stripes, I think about Daddy and, you know, Switch and, you know, that's what I knew of is stripes. And what a lot to that, it'd be gone in a day or two. But that's not the kind of stripes that they put on Paul's back. No doubt that they whipped him like much like Jesus was whipped. And the Bible said you could stare on Jesus' bones, that it laid his flesh open. I believe Paul was the same way. If you could imagine 39 stripes across the back and them laying you bare and exposing your bones, and then by the time they heal up, somebody come along and do that again to you, you can just imagine the things that he went through. Shipwrecked and snake bit, and the list goes on and on. Very perilous journey. And to make a statement that there was a time when everybody forsook me. That's sad. No man had his back. No man stood by him. I'm so thankful that this church works together, that this church looks out for one another. You see someone maybe that's hurting a little bit and you rush to them to try to help them out and encourage them. And my only thing is I pray that we can do it even better. Jake, that we can just love each other even more, that we could esteem one another even more than we esteem ourselves, and that we could truly love the way that God wants us to. And I believe already that it's very, very much the case. But you know, the Bible lets us know, really, we can't truly love God unless we love others. We can't truly love God unless we love His people, His bride. This is the church, His bride. And so He tells us, love one another. And we need to make sure that we do that. And even as Paul stood alone, with no man by his side, not one man stood there with him. Look at verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord is going to take care of me until I go to meet Him. Until I go enter into His kingdom, the Lord is going to stand with me. And tonight, I want us to stop and consider that. I want to preach that thought for just a moment. Knowing God is with me. So many Christians today, and I use that word loosely, I know when you think of Christians, there's some that are saved, and then there's some that may say they're saved and really they're not. But I believe with all my heart, there's plenty of people that are saved, that are going through life and not realizing that God is with them. Or at least not acknowledging He is and not looking for His guidance. And, you know, that they don't look for Him to guide them in life. They don't look to Him and look for His hand in their life. They don't look to God and have confidence in their decisions because they know that God is leading them. Whatever that's the case, boy, we are really and truly neglecting such a great gift. You think about having God by your side, having God help you make decisions, having God that will lead you through life. And yet there's so many that say, I don't know that God has led me. I talked to one lady, Brother Mike, and this just about broke my heart. I talked to one lady, and she had a wonderful testimony where the Lord saved her. There was no doubt there. She had great confidence that she was saved. And yet, we got to talking about God leading us, and she made a statement. She said, I am ashamed to say the last time I felt spiritual was back, and she named a church where she was a member at, and she said, I believe it's about 33 years ago. The last time she felt spiritual was about 33 years. Can you imagine that? We can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. You know why? Because Thou art with me. God is with us. If we will just look to Him, He is right there. And I want to ask you the question just to emphasize this. Do you know that God is with you? Can you hear His voice in the decisions that you make? You know, I thought about whenever I first started preaching. I was over at Natchez, and there's a little church, just a handful going, and they couldn't do a lot, but they did provide us a camper trailer, and it was a small little camper trailer. And me and my family, I had two of the kids at the time, I believe. We were there in that camper trailer, and it was a Saturday night. I'm going to get up and have church the next morning, and a tornado come through. And it came through, and it left a trail, and it broke trees off, big trees, about 10 foot up in the air, broke them off. And it come right over our head, right over top of the camper, and it went in a straight line behind us and kept breaking trees all the way. And we woke up to that. And we woke up to the camper kind of rocking back and forth and just scaring us. I mean, it scared us silly. I mean, you almost could feel the thing coming up off the ground. You know, I was glad. You know, there's my wife. She's there. Really, thought went through my mind. I wish that it was stayed at home. But they were there. And I didn't call my wife's name. And I didn't call my children's name. And I didn't call the church members' name. They couldn't help me. They were in their home snuggled up, you know, asleep. Snug as a bug in a rug. And here we are having the ride of our life. You know what I said? I said, God, help us. And I said that, Brother Jake, with all the confidence in the world, because I believe that God is there to help. And He just as soon as I said, God, help us, it went calm. And I thought about that and how that, you know, God is a very present help in a time of trouble. And I think a lot of people, we've got to a point where we about doubt that. We don't pray like we ought to. We're not looking to God like we should. And we're not listening for Him. But He has promised that He would be right there with us if we're willing to look for it. Three Hebrew men stood all by themselves one day as the king commanded them to bow down to a big old false god out in the middle of the desert. You bow down to this god when you hear all kind of music. They didn't bow. They stood right by their lonesome. Three men. You imagine how odd that must have felt. The king calls them. Just to make a long story short, he said, I'll give you another chance. They said, we don't need another chance. We're not going to bow to your false god. They said, our God is able. They believed that their God was right there with them. Our God is able to deliver us out of your hands. And if He's not willing to do that, we're still not going to bow. You know why? Because He's still right here with us. They threw those men into a fiery furnace. And the king walks by and looks through. I guess they had a little window or something. He looks through and he said, did we not throw three men in there? There's somebody else in there with them. You know who it was? It was the Lord. He was in there with them, standing right there in the fire with them. They did not even have the smell of smoke on their clothes because their God was right there. You may look up here tonight, and obviously you don't see God. He's not... You don't see Him standing up here, but I guarantee you one thing. He's up here with me. He's up here with me. He careth for me. He is with me. Nothing, the Bible says, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing can. He's with me. And I'm glad that I don't have to stand up here and come up with a message. Or I don't have to try to study and figure out, you know, what do I need to come up with? What do I think the people need to hear? I'm glad that I can just look to the Lord and He'll provide the message. And He'll help me to study it and get settled on the thoughts that I need to speak and the thoughts I need to leave off. And even though it might start with a big old jumbled up mess, He can help me sort all that out and get it at least where it comes across where y'all halfway understand it. I'm thankful I don't have to do it all by myself. You know, life is not as confusing as so many people make it out to be. Really, it's not. I hear people talk about how confusing life is, and I've said it too. There's been times when I was confused about things. But really, I was probably not as confused as I made out to be. Because God has His truth. If we'll listen, He'll settle us. It's not as confusing as people make it out to be. And the reason I say that is because life comes with a guide and an instruction book. God has promised to take His Word and guide us. If we'll just look to Him, if we'll study His Word, if we'll listen for that still, small voice. Do you believe that God will direct you? Do you believe that God will stand by you, maybe when nobody else will? As long as you're standing for the truth, He'll stand right there with you. As long as you need Him, He's right there with you. Do you believe He loves you enough to help you in a time of trouble? The Bible says He will. We either believe it or we don't. We could go throughout Scripture, John 14:27. Jesus reminds us there. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. The disciples were disturbed. They were upset. Lord, you're about to leave us. We're going to be all by ourselves. He said, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm going to send a comforter. He will comfort you in all things. We don't have to worry about comfort. God will help us. He'll comfort us. John 16:8, there He says, God will convict you of your sins. If you're messing up, God's going to get a hold of you. Matter of fact, He says there, He will reprove the world of sin. People act here, oh, I'm confused. You're just not listening. Elijah, he heard that still, small voice, didn't he? Just a still, small voice. Was it audible? I don't know if I could prove it one way or the other. I know whenever He speaks to me, it's not audible. I'm not riding along and all of a sudden, if I heard a voice out loud, I'd probably wreck. Probably scare me to death. But He speaks to my heart. And I believe with all my heart, that's Him. That's Him. How many of us are listening to that still, small voice, though? You know, I look at the early church, Antioch. At the time they sent Paul out, they didn't just send him out because they felt like, that's a good idea. We'll give this a shot. There's a lot of churches today. They just like throwing everything against the wall and hope something sticks. Let's try something. That's not what the early church did. The early church, they got together. The Bible said they ministered unto the Lord and fasted. They come together to be in one accord to seek the will of God. And they sent Paul and Barnabas out to do the work. You know why they did that? Because the Holy Ghost said, do it. The Holy Ghost said, separate Paul and Barnabas for the work I've called them to do. And then they laid their hands on them, sent them out to do the work of God. God's Word says it, and that settles it. I know you've heard that. Again tonight, let me ask you, do you know that God is with you? Do you hear from Him? Are you listening? Is He convicting you? I'm convinced that God's people, that they're going to be convicted from time to time, if not every day. Is He leading you to do something? Well, I feel like maybe He is, but I'm not quite so sure, Brother Brad. I don't want to mess up. I want to at least encourage, pay attention to that voice. Don't just write it off as, well, I'm crazy, or I've just got some random thought going through my head. Pay attention to it. If you're saved, pay attention to what's going on inside. God speaks to His people. There's nothing like the presence of Almighty God as a child of God to know that He's there with us. But now let me. I don't want you to leave and think and miss this point. As a child of God, we can get out of fellowship with Him. We can walk away from Him. God will let us walk away from Him. So, well, He's not right beside me. I don't know if we could say that either. Psalm 66, verse 18, 19. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And then He goes on to say, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. He said, listen, if I got something in the way, I need to get it out of the way so that God will hear me. Let me just mention this. Joshua, I think I mentioned last week, Joshua, and how that God told him, He said, I won't be with you anymore until you get sent out of camp. Somebody said, see there, God left him, and he wasn't by his side. Well, who told him? Even though God said, I'm not going to be with you anymore, God was there to tell him that he wasn't. Didn't mean God left them. It just meant they had some things in the way and they needed to move that so God would work with them. God will work with us if we will let Him, if we will trust Him. If there's something in the way, get it out of the way. If there's something there that's hindering your relationship with the Lord, get it out of the way. But probably more than anything else, what we need to do is just pay attention. We distract ourselves, you know it. We do a lot of distracting. We talk about how busy we are. I agree with you. Brother Mike, we are a busy people, but more than busy, we are a distracted people. Because even whenever we're not quite so busy, we distract ourselves. It does you good to get off by yourself somewhere, a little peace and quiet, and just listen. Hear that still, small voice. And whenever you got decisions to make, you don't have to make them on your own. God will help you make them. So, Brother Brad, it's not written here that if I want a new truck, that, you know, thou shalt go buy a new truck. And I'm not going to read that here, but I tell you what you can do. You can start studying about needs and wants and desires. You can start looking at what God said about being in debt and things like that. And start read His Word and get a good understanding of it. And then you can get off somewhere and you can pray. And God will settle your heart as to whether you need to or not. Sometimes He will. Sometimes it's okay. Sometimes it's not okay. But are we going to trust the Lord or do what we want? Now, I don't encourage you to listen to Him. We'll ask for something.